Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. It's easy for the subject of tonight's conversation to be reduced to something little more than just a source of humor. The average TV evangelist, we're talking about, generally speaking, a character with some idiosyncrasies. But what about their teachings? Now, not every television evangelist, but the big ones that you see, some of the names that we'll be talking about and hearing from tonight, have something in common. What they have in common is a teaching. It's called Word Faith. Sometimes people know it as a prosperity gospel, name it and claim it. What does this theology rest upon? If this is an error, which it is according to God's Word, what are the errors that make up the foundation of the Word Faith teaching? We're going to talk about that during this hour of Issues Etc. Bob Leeko from Discernment Ministry International is our guest. We're coming to you live this Sunday evening. It's April the 25th. Issues Etc. is a live call-in talk show, so we invite your questions and your comments on the subject of Word Faith, 1-800-730-2727. 1-800-730-2727. Also, feel free to leave a question or a comment on our Issues Etc. forum. Go to our website, issuesetc.org. Click on the What's New section, and you'll find the Issues Etc. forum there, waiting for your questions and your comments. issuesetc.org. Pastor Bob Leeko is a co-founder of Discernment Ministry International, based in Detroit. He's a former Word Faith pastor himself and a graduate of Robert Tilton's Bible School. Bob, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Well, thank you, Todd. How are you?
I'm doing well. And you?
Doing well. A little tired. Just got back from St. Louis and had a great time there. We were at the Personal Freedom Outreach Apologetics Conference and spoke on some various topics and heard some good speakers. Some of your guests were there, people like Dr. Norman Geisler. I know he's been on your show before.
Sure has.
Ron Rhodes and some other men and women. And it was very, very well attended.
Well, it's nice to know that Issues Etc. ties people together like that. We do have a tendency to be the one thing that a lot of people of disparate interests and ideas and talents have in common. And I'm glad to hear that you enjoyed your visit in St. Louis as well. Bob, your story is pretty important to tell at this point as we open the subject of the Word Faith movement as a former Word Faith pastor. Tell us your story.
Well, while I was at the University of Michigan, many of my friends on the dorm room the hall I lived on, started to become interested in Christianity, and I had been raised in a Christian home, but had wandered away from it while I was at college, and many of my friends were getting involved with a charismatic community there in Ann Arbor called the Word of God Community, and eventually I got involved with the Word of God community myself, and part of their demands, if you will, was that you be part of a local church. And so I joined a small Pentecostal church, and the pastor's son there was the one who introduced me initially to Word of Faith teachings. And then a man who graduated from Kenneth Hagin's school in Tulsa called Rhema Bible Training Center came back to the Ann Arbor area where he was from and started a church. And I began to attend there, and that was how I began to learn the basic doctrines of the Word of Faith movement. And eventually, through being a faithful member of the church, I kind of rose up through the ranks and worked at different areas and ended up being a teaching elder. And then eventually the pastor called me to work with him as his associate pastor. And time went on. We started our own church where I was the senior pastor. But during the time I was there in Ann Arbor, we were hooked up via satellite with Robert Tilton's ministry in Texas. And I was one of the few people in the Ann Arbor area who has the dubious distinction of claiming to be a graduate of Robert Tilton's Bible School. I was a full-time student. And I was taught by the cream of the crop of the Word of Faith teachers of that period, which we're talking about the mid-1980s. And that was sort of my background in the Word of Faith, educationally, and then through my experience in working in ministry there. Met my wife at a Word of Faith church, and that was some good fruit that came out of that experience.
Bob, why did you leave Word of Faith?
Well, the church that we worked with and the pastor that we sat under initially, my senior pastor and I, we kind of came to a parting of the ways, which is not uncommon in a lot of independent churches, and we ended up going through a church split. And we eventually ended up from Ann Arbor into Detroit at another church, and the man that was pastoring this church was actually the roommate of our former pastor. They both went to Rhema together, and he assured us that the Word of Faith movement was over and that God was doing something new. Little did we know that new thing was later to be called the prophetic movement. But we got out of the Word of Faith movement and the whole charismatic extremist movement itself, because we simply began to see that what they were teaching was not biblical. It was not sound teaching. It was not adding up. The spiritual laws and principles that we were working on and enacting and standing upon and things that we had been confessing for over 15 years were not coming to pass in our life, and we didn't see them happening in anyone else's lives either. So we began to really question the things that we were being taught. And God sovereignly had opened a door for us to attend a new seminary that had started in Ann Arbor. And as we began to go to seminary, and our first class was hermeneutics, the science of interpreting Scripture, sort of put the last nail in the coffin for us as far as our involvement with the whole charismatic renewal movement. Because then we knew for certain that the things that we had been taught, and unfortunately teaching other people for many years, was simply not true. It was simply false doctrine, and it was misleading people and leading them further from Christ and not closer to Him. So that's it in a nutshell.
Bob, name a few names, if you would, names that we'd recognize, Word of Faith teachers, both current and near past.
Oh, certainly. Some of the people that taught us, for instance, at Robert Tilton School were people like Marilyn Hickey, whose ministry really took off after her working with Mr. Tilton, Lester Summerall, Kenneth and Gloria Copeland, Kenneth Hagin Sr., who has recently passed away, Frederick K. Price, Jerry Savelle, Jesse Duplantis, Albert Willis. Now, today, of course, you have people like Joyce Meyer, who is a Word of Faith teacher. T.D. Jakes also has incorporated many of their concepts into his own brand of teaching and doctrine. Robert Tilton, of course, would be another name. Charles Capps, Bob Yandian, Buddy Harrison, the founder of Harrison House, who also has died. People like that, I think many of the listeners would be familiar with. Of course, Paul and Jan Crouch, they subscribe to the Word of Faith concepts as well. Lock, Stock, and Barrel, and primarily the people that speak on TBN are either directly identified as Word of Faith people or people that are certainly in agreement or very sympathetic to the concepts that the movement brings forward.
We're talking with Pastor Bob Leko, co-founder of Discernment Ministry International, based in Detroit. He's a former Word Faith pastor and a graduate of Robert Tilton's Bible School. When we come back from this break, folks, I want you to listen very carefully. We're going to hear from some of the brightest lights in the Word Faith movement themselves, some of their teachings. I want you to listen carefully, because there is a kernel of truth that is often mixed in with the error. There's a kernel of truth there that's often mixed in with the error. What is the biggest danger, Bob, before we go with 1 minute, of the Word Faith teaching, before we get into some of its stranger particulars?
Well, the danger is simply this, that they are proclaiming a false gospel, they are presenting a false Jesus, and they are offering people a different spirit, all of which Paul says, let anyone who does such a thing be accursed. So I believe today, and many others have come to the same conclusion, by others I mean apologists, theologians are in agreement that the Word of Faith movement is a cult. It is cultic and cannot really be considered part of the Christian church. And there are certainly in-house arguments that we may have between Methodists and Baptists and the Missouri Synod and Presbyterians and things, yet we would agree on the major tenets and central things that make up Orthodox Christianity. However, the Word of Faith movement, for the most part, would deny many of the core central tenets of the faith. That's the danger of it. It's misleading, and it gives people a false view of who Jesus is, what he did on the cross, and who they are in relationship to God.
Now, when we come back, we're going to hear, who is God? We'll hear from Kenneth Copeland. He'll answer that question, and we'll get Bob's reaction and an explanation of what's being taught among Word Faith teachers, and sadder to say, what's being believed by those who listen to their teachings. 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727. When we come back, a Word Faith answer to the question, who is God?
Defending the faith, teaching the truth. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Do Christians, Jews, and Muslims worship the same God? Can someone worship God the Father apart from Jesus Christ? Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. I've written an article for the next edition of the Issues Etc. Journal. It's called Mere Monotheism, and you can receive a complimentary copy of the Issues Etc. Journal by calling our resource line, 1-800-737-0172. What's the difference between a knowledge of God and the true worship of God? Find out with the Issues Etc. Journal, 1-800-737-0172. The next issue also details Dr. Leonard Peyton's journey from Calvinism to Lutheranism, 1-800-737-0172. Now, if you enjoy Issues Etc., the radio show, you need to get the Issues Etc. Journal. Call now, 1-800-737-0172, and ask for a free copy of the Issues Etc. Journal. Next week on Issues Etc., we're going to review the best-selling book, The Da Vinci Code, by Dan Brown. Our guest will be Rich Abanas of the Religious Information Center. Were Jesus and Mary Magdalene husband and wife? Did Jesus name Mary the leader of Christianity before his death? Did Leonardo da Vinci encode secret knowledge about Jesus and Mary and these teachings into his paintings? We'll talk about all of that next week on Issues Etc. with Rich Abanas. Now, if you'd like to know what we'll be discussing throughout the spring on the program, check out our website, issuesetc.org. While you're there, be sure to find out more about our Issues Etc. Book of the Month for April, They Will See His Face, Worship and Healing. This book is a great resource for those of you who consider yourselves on the front line of the worship war. It answers those questions about what God is really doing in worship, and points out very nicely, to the comfort of the reader, that worship is about God's gifts to us, not about what we do for God. Now, you can browse before you buy the book, They Will See His Face, at our website, issuesetc.org. The book costs $12.99 plus shipping and handling. Or you can call Concordia Publishing House weekdays during regular business hours, 1-800-325-3040. 1-800-325-3040. When you call, be sure to mention Issues Etc. and our Book of the Month for April, They Will See His Face, 1-800-325-3040. We're talking about the Word Faith Movement. Bob Leko is our guest. The first basic question that we need to see evaluate the Word Faith teaching on has to do with the nature of God. Who is God? Here's Kenneth Copeland answering that question.
So you see, that faith didn't come billowing out of some giant monster somewhere. It came out of the heart of a being that is very uncanny the way he's very much like you and me. A being that stands somewhere around 6'2", 6'3", that weighs somewhere in the neighborhood of a couple of hundred pounds, a little better, has a span of 9 inches across, stood up and said, "Light be!" And this universe situated itself and went into motion. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
That's Word of Faith teacher Kenneth Copeland. Bob, your reaction and answer to that definition of God.
Well, that certainly was very familiar. I can remember listening to that. I think I still have that tape, in fact. That's probably one of the most important areas that the Word of Faith movement errs in, is their definition of God. What they've done is basically lowered God down to the level of man and raised man and made him just a little bit lower than God. In fact, Copeland, in another place, teaches Todd, he says that God's reason for creating Adam was his desire to reproduce himself. This is a direct quote. I mean a reproduction of himself. He, Adam, was not a little like God. He was not almost like God. He was not subordinate to God, even. Adam is God manifested in the flesh. And that's what Copeland teaches, based on this revelation that he had that God is indeed about 6 feet tall and, you know, weighs a couple of hundred pounds. And he gets this idea from Isaiah, I think, that where it says that God measured out the heavens with the span of his hand, and Copeland looks at his hand and says, well, you know, my span's about, you know, so many inches, so God's a little taller than I am, and I'm created in his image, after all. We're all created in the image of God, and so that means that God must look like us and must be approximately our height and our weight. And that's just ludicrous. You know, certainly it is the consensus of the church that man has and is created in the image of God, in the sense that he's a person as God is a person. We possess a mind, a will, we have emotions. We're reasonable, we're unique amongst creation, and God has given us dominion over it. We're capable of having fellowship with God. In that sense, yeah, we bear the image of God, but we don't share his nature or his substance or makeup. Which is what Copeland and the Word of Faith people teach, that we have, and through the process of conversion, new birth, that we again have the nature of God. We never had the nature of God to begin with. We're not omnipresent or omniscient or infinite. Only God is the only being that's holy in and of himself. And we're made in his image, sure, and we have dignity because of that. But we are not exact duplicates of God in any sense of the word.
Bob, what do they do with the fall into sin and the loss of the image of God in a spiritual sense?
Well, that's the whole, what happened is that God creates Adam and he makes him to be God over this planet Earth. In fact, Copeland goes on to say that Earth is an exact duplication of heaven. He said, you don't think that God made the earth different than the place he lives in. So heaven is a planet. And when God created earth, he created it as an exact duplicate of heaven. And so when he created Adam, then he created Adam as a duplicate of himself, and he gave Adam the very nature of God. So when Adam sinned, he, in the words of Word of Faith terminology, he committed high treason by bowing his knee to Satan. At that point, he lost the nature of God. Adam lost the nature of God and took on the nature of Satan. And that is why the New Testament calls Satan the god of this world.
So, in other words, there was a man went from having the nature of God, not just the nature of God, but actually equality with God, to being equal to Satan? Is that what it is?
Well, yeah, we became There was a great reversal that went on. Before, God was in fellowship with man, and he was walking in communion with the God-man Adam, and then Adam sins, and then Satan becomes the god of this world, and the God who created the universe and the world is on the outside looking in.
All right, let's listen to another word faith teacher here, and he answers the question, who is man now? Who are Christians? This is Benny Hinn.
God came from heaven, became a man, made man into little God, went back to heaven as a man. He faces the Father as a man. I face devils as the Son of God. You see what I'm talking about? You say, Benny Hinn, am I a little God? You're a son of God, aren't you? You're a child of God, aren't you? You're a daughter of God, aren't you? What else are you? Quit your nonsense. What else are you? If you say I am, you're saying I'm a part of him, right? Is he God? Are you his offspring? Are you his children? You can't be human.
That's Word Faith teacher Benny Hinn answering the question, who are Christians? Again, a kernel of truth, we're sons of God, but pressing that kernel of truth into serious error. We're talking with Bob Leiko about the Word Faith movement. Pastor Bob Leiko is co-founder of Discernment Ministry International, and he's a former Word Faith pastor himself. You can check out the website for Discernment Ministry International. Simply visit our website, issuesetc.org. And under the section, Links with Regular Guests, you'll find a direct link to Bob Leiko, our guest, and Discernment Ministry International. Or if you'd like information on how to receive Bob Leiko's Truth Matters newsletter, call our resource line, 1-800-737-0172, 1-800-737-0172. We'll give you the phone number and the mailing address for Bob Leiko and Discernment Ministry International. Now, when we come back, we'll get Bob's reaction to what Benny Hinn had to say. Plus, we'll hear from Kenneth Hagin on the issue of a little bit later. We'll hear about Jesus' descent into hell. Why did he descend into hell, according to Kenneth Hagin? To suffer as a man and to be reborn as the first born-again man. Word Faith teachers' reactions to their errors with Bob Leiko during this hour of Issues, Etc. In true Christian worship, God always acts first. He descends from heaven through his word and sacraments, bringing us sinners healing. It's the healing of the forgiveness of sins won at the cross by Jesus Christ our Savior. He heals our guilt, our depression, our grief. Our Issues Etc. book of the month for April is called They Will See His Face, Worship and Healing. You can order They Will See His Face by calling Concordia Publishing House any weekday during regular business hours, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. You can also go online to our website, issuesetc.org, click on the What's New section, and find information about this book. It's our Issues Etc. book of the month for April, They Will See His Face, Worship and Healing. 1-800-325-3040.
The radio voice of the Lutheran faith for the 21st century. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Todd Wilkin here again. I'm talking with the author of our Issues, Etc. book of the month for April, Dr. Richard Iyer. The book is called They Will See His Face, Worship and Healing. Dr. Iyer, what's the relationship between worship and healing?
Well, healing is the word that I've given it in the book to describe what God is doing in worship, since worship is God's action toward us. In talking about healing, we're really talking about how what God does to us is applied to our daily lives. And so it deals with the things that affect us all the time, the healing of our guilt, for example, anxiety, loneliness, depression, grief, even our intellect and how we think about the world around us. All of this is what I mean by the word healing that I think God addresses to our worship.
How can this book on worship and healing benefit one of our listeners in his worship life?
Well, I think as people read this book, they will become more aware of what actually is going on in our worship and the divine service and what God is actually doing. Those who have read it have told me they never realized all that is involved in the worship. And I think things such as calling on the name of God, which is simply calling on God to lift us out of ourselves and into his presence, where there is peace and solitude versus loneliness and fear and so on. There's so much in the Divine Liturgy that people will find in the book that has taken me most of my life to come to that realization myself.
How important, Dr. Iyer, is it that Christians understand that worship is first and foremost what God does for us, dispensing the forgiveness of sins through Jesus Christ, and not first and foremost what we do for God?
Right. We respond to what God does for and to us, but in the divine worship, for a few moments, heaven opens and Christ comes down to us in a way that he does at no other time. And so he is present in flesh and blood as he serves us his own body and blood in the Lord's Supper for the forgiveness of sins and also for the renewal of our lives. There is something dynamic going on from God's action, and we are the receivers of that who respond then.
That's Dr. Richard Iyer, author of our Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for April, They Will See His Face, Worship and Healing. Now you can order They Will See His Face by calling Concordia Publishing House any weekday during regular business hours. Their number, 1-800-325-3040. 1-800-325-3040. When you call, mention Issues, Etc. Or go to our website, issuesetc.org, click on the What's New section, and you'll find information about and a way to order They Will See His Face, Worship and Healing. It's our Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for April. Would you like to receive a free tape of this two-hour discussion with Bob Leko on the Word Faith Movement? Well, all you have to do is contact the local Lutheran church that sponsors Issues, Etc., and they'll send you a free cassette recording. Get a pen and a piece of paper ready, because you should hear an announcement with a phone number and a mailing address for your local Lutheran church sponsor right after the Issues, Etc. close theme. If you have a question or a comment on the Word Faith Movement, call now, 1-800-737-0172, 1-800-737-0172. I'm sorry, 1-800-737-730-2727. Getting my phone numbers mixed up. 1-800-730-2727 is our call-in number. Bob, before the break, we heard from Benny Hinn. He said, essentially, if you're a child of God, you're a little God yourself. How do you answer?
Well, that's standard teaching, and that teaching has not changed. Some people may say, well, Benny Hinn later recanted that statement. Well, he really hasn't, because he's continued to teach that same type of thing in other locations. But that is standard teaching. Kenneth Hagin, the father, in quotes of the Word of Faith Movement, makes this statement in his book Zoe, The God Kind of Life. He says that man was created on terms of equality with God, and he could stand in God's presence without any consciousness of inferiority. He made us the same class of being that he is himself. He, Adam, lived on terms equal with God. The believer is called Christ. That's who we are. We're Christ. God's reason for creating Adam was his desire to reproduce himself. And then Copeland goes on, and following the Faith of Abraham tape, he says, you don't have a God in you. You are one. So all of these guys teach this.
So what's the danger in taking a kernel truth, which Scripture says, through Christ we are indeed the sons and daughters of God through Christ the Son, and equating us and saying we are little gods then?
Well, there's a big difference, because we are adopted into the household of faith. We are adopted into the body of Christ, you know, through the sovereign work of God's Spirit as he regenerates us and takes out the heart of stone and gives us a heart of flesh and makes us his own children. But that's different from saying that you become, well, in their theology, actually, man started off a little god and lost that, and now through the process of conversion and faith in Christ, we again have that nature of Satan taken out, and that true nature we once had in the first Adam restored to us, so all of a sudden we become little gods. Creflo Dollar, let's see, it's 2004, 2002, Believers Faith Convention, Kenneth Copeland's annual convention, taught very strongly. In fact, we're going to have a videotape of that available for people, where he taught emphatically that man is, in fact, a little god, and that this trial, this time on earth, is simply to prepare us for when we go back to the mother planet and begin to create and rule over universes as our Father does. So that's the danger of that teaching. God had never made us equal with himself. We are always contingent beings, and we will always worship one true God. In fact, in heaven, we have many illustrations of the elders falling on their faces, casting their crowns down before God. Well, why would they do that if they're in the same class and there's no sense, according to Hagen, of inferiority between God and ourselves? We're on equal footing. Why would we worship him then? We should just simply shake hands and sit down and enjoy fellowship one with another, since we are indeed in the same class. The Bible never teaches that we're in the same class as God to begin with. That is something they have added on to that statement that, well, yes, we are now children of God. And Earl Polk, a megachurch pastor in Atlanta, says, well, look at it this way. Dogs have puppies, cats have kittens, God has little gods. So if you're a child of God, then you bear the exact same DNA, if you will, as your father. Thus, as you grow and mature, and in that they mean through kind of a Gnostic hidden knowledge that's revealed to you called revelation knowledge, you'll begin to act more like your father in this planet, and you'll be able to fulfill the words of Jesus when he said, the things that I do, you shall do also, and even greater things.
On that subject, Bob, the issue of faith, and on the subject of faith itself, here's Paul and Jan Crouch in a conversation with Kenneth Copeland on the question of whether or not God has faith and uses faith as a force.
Does God use faith?
Surely.
Now see, here's a sore spot. There are those who
him.
Say.
Not with,
not with you.
No.
Not with God.
I'm not sore at God at all, and I don't think he's sore at me. I haven't done anything to him.
No, but the critics say God is God. He doesn't have to have faith. He doesn't exercise faith. He doesn't use faith. He's God. He's the object of faith.
Well, wait a minute. What does that mean, object? I don't know what that means.
Bob,
your reaction to that conversation there on the issue of faith and God having and using faith.
Well, they would teach that God has created this universe on the basis and by certain spiritual laws, and that faith is a spiritual law, and that God creates by using this spiritual law. And faith is not just simply belief in someone or something greater than yourself. To a word of faith person, faith is a force that is released through our words. In other words, in Genesis it says that God spoke, let there be light, and there was light. God had faith in his words. In other words, he spoke the words that were in his heart, and it manifested reality. And we're to do the same thing. And according to Mark 11, 23 and 24, where Jesus is teaching that as a man believes in his heart and he confesses with his mouth, these things are going to come to pass, that they will. And so they teach that since God created everything by this force of faith, and we're created in the likeness and image of God, we're little gods, then we too are to create our own realities by the words of our mouth, by faith-filled words. Now, they live in a dualistic system, because fear-filled words will also create, but they'll create negative things, such as sickness and poverty and disease and depression and all the evils and ills in the world come because people speak fear-filled words. So you're either going to speak faith-filled words or fear-filled words. And that's why Copeland would say, oh, well, I don't understand this idea of having faith in someone. He sort of laughs to him. No, faith, faith, it's a force. It's a mystical power, and it's released through our words. So I really don't know what people are talking about when they say, having faith in God.
Now, Bob, we've come here to really the object of faith. It's not just in God in general. It is in God through the person and work of his incarnate Son, Jesus Christ. Now, we would teach according to Scripture that Christ went to the cross to suffer for sins. He went there as both God and man, suffered death as both God and man, was really dead, descended into hell to proclaim victory, and ascended again, was raised again on the third day, ascended into heaven, as Christians throughout time have believed. However, here's Kenneth Hagin, the grandfather of the Word Faith movement, answering the question of why Jesus had to go to hell.
His spirit, an inner man, went to hell in my place. Can't you see that? Physical death wouldn't remove your sins. He's tasted death for every man. He's talking about tasting spiritual death. Jesus is the first person that was ever born again. Why did his spirit need to be born again? Because it was estranged from God.
What was Kenneth Hagin, Word Faith teacher extraordinaire, what was he saying there?
Well, he said a lot, and it's going to take a little explaining. Number one, when Jesus came to earth, they have a very strange kenosis theory. When Jesus emptied himself, they would say and teach that he totally emptied himself of all his divine attributes and abilities, and that Jesus Christ, through his earthly ministry, ministered only as a man anointed by the Holy Spirit. So on the cross, Jesus takes upon himself, literally, and this comes from E.W. Kenyon, the nature of Satan. And the Bible says that Jesus is God, the Son, God manifest in the flesh. That's what we believe. They say, no, he laid aside all of this omnipotence and omniscience and his immutability. All of this was laid aside, and that Jesus thus became a man, and taking on the nature of Satan, he dies spiritually. So they have, again, the unchanging God-man dying spiritually, as well as physically. And so it's not enough that Jesus bear our punishment, the just punishment for our sins, in his own fleshly body. He has to atone for them spiritually as well.
In hell?
In hell, in fact, because when Jesus says, it's finished, for a Word of Faith teacher, they would say, well, no, he didn't mean that atonement was finished. He just meant that the physical side was finished. He had to go down and suffer in hell, be tormented by Satan and demons for 3 days, and then the Spirit of God looked down and saw that he had suffered enough, that he had paid the price spiritually, and then as a born-again man, he defeated Satan. He threw these demons off him, and he grabs the keys of death, hell, and the grave out of the hand of Satan, and again ascends back, to the earth and then back to the heavens. In fact, let me quote Kenneth Copeland.
Before you do that, we need to take a break, and when we come back, we'll pick up right where we need to leave off right here. Why did Jesus descend into hell? Why did he descend into hell? It's very clear from Scripture. He went there to proclaim his victory over death, sin, and Satan. He did not go there to suffer. He suffered on the cross. He atoned on the cross. The atonement was over. He proclaimed victory there in hell. It's part of his exaltation. Folks, we have resources on the Word Faith Movement posted at our website, issuesetc.org, under the What's New section, as well as an article written by our guest, Bob Leko.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
If you're a talk radio junkie like me, you might assume that the programming is free. Commercial advertisers pay for the production costs and staff salaries. Well, that's true for most talk radio shows, but not for Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is listener-supported. That means we rely on you to pay the production salaries and airtime costs for this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin asking you to prayerfully consider making a financial gift to Issues Etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org. Click on the What's New section. You can donate by credit card, 1-800-737-0172. Or you can donate by check, Issues Etc., Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Remember, unlike other talk radio shows, Issues Etc. needs your financial support. We depend upon you for the continuation and expansion of Issues Etc.
If you'd like to receive a complimentary copy of our Issues Etc. journal, or if you'd like to know how to contact our guest in this hour, Bob Leko and Discernment Ministry International, or if you'd like to donate monthly to Issues Etc. by becoming a confessor, an apologist, or a reformer, call our resource line 1-800-737-0172 or write us at Issues Etc., Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Bob, very quickly, as we need to get some phone calls in here before the hour wraps up, tell us about the E.W. Kenyon quote you mentioned before.
Well, basically, you know, the clip was talking, you know, Kenneth Hagin was mentioning how Jesus had to go down into hell and then, as a born-again man, defeat Satan. So they teach that Jesus defeated the devil by becoming born again. So we've got, we now have a Jesus, a mere mortal man who is suffering in, he's suffering in hell, and then Jesus then decides to be born again. He defeats the devil and becomes the firstborn among many brethren. So now we really see some scripture twisting taking place here. Copeland states that nowhere in the Bible after the book of Acts is Jesus called the unique and only begotten Son of God. He even twists Romans 8:29 to mean that Jesus is the first born-again man, the first reborn man, that Jesus really, he set the pattern for a new race to come. And according to the faith teachers, we're part of that new race. We are equal to Jesus, for we're born again just as he was.
Bob, we got one more word faith teacher to hear from. This one is Fred Price. You're going to need to explain this particular, his particular take on the words, "Thy will be done to me."
When I first got saved, they didn't tell me I could do anything. They just, what they told me to do was that whenever I prayed, I should always say, "The will of the Lord be done." Now, doesn't that sound humble? It does. Sounds like humility. It's really stupidity. I mean, you know, we insult God. I mean, we really do insult our Heavenly Father. We do. We really insult Him without even realizing it. If you have to say that, if it be thy will or thy will be done, if you have to say that, then you're calling God a fool.
What does Fred Price mean there?
Well, basically, he's just simply stating the fact that since God has created everything through this force of faith, you know, as Copeland teaches, faith is a powerful force, it's tangible, it's a conductive force, it moves all things, and faith will change things. So for us to say when we pray, "Thy will be done," we are simply saying that we don't know for sure what God's will is, and yet we do. God's will is to fulfill His word that we speak. So I don't have to pray, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." I merely need to find a scripture, believe it in my heart, and confess it out of my mouth. And God is obligated, according to immutable spiritual laws, to bring it to pass. Because, again, God uses His words as containers to hold His faith and spiritual force. And so we're in His image, and so we do the same thing. So by us saying, "Well, Lord, you know, you pray and say, 'Thy will be done,'" is to reduce God and to negate the force of faith, which, of course, they believe is supreme, and that even God himself is obligated to fulfill any prayer or statement that is made with true faith that comes from the heart.
Folks, this not only misunderstands the concept of faith, it misunderstands God in his entirety. And that is, God desires for us the forgiveness of sins. And he not only desires it, he provides it in Jesus Christ. So when faith has an object, it has a faith in the forgiver of sins, in the Savior from sins, Jesus Christ. And when faith is exercised, if you want to use that term, it is a total dependence upon Jesus and all of the promises of God in Jesus Christ. So why can we pray, thy will be done? Because we know, if we don't know what God's will is in the particular, we do know that God's will for us is good, and we know it in one and one way only, and that is the death of his Son on the cross for us sinners, and God's love demonstrated there and the forgiveness delivered there to us sinners. Let's go to the phones, 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727. First up, Kirk calling from White Plains, Maryland, listening on WAVA. Kirk, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Thank you, thank you. Bob, I have a couple of questions. Since you're coming from the Word Faith Movement, are the leaders and the teachers there sincerely believing what they teach, or are they purposely misleading people? That's one question. And another, when did it start, and why is it that so many Christians are being lured into this Word Faith Movement?
Kirk, thank you very much. Bob,
okay,
you've got two questions. You've only got about 2 minutes to answer
both
questions.
Number one, are they sincere? For the most part, I believe that many of these teachers are sincere. I believe that Kenneth and Gloria Copeland, for instance, are sincere. I think that Joyce Meyer is sincere. People like that, I think, are sincere. They're sincerely wrong. What scares me, and people ask us all the time, are they Christians? Well, I'm not the judge of that. I can only judge their teaching. I can judge their lifestyle, the fruit of their ministries. But what frightens me is that many people wiser than myself have approached all of these leaders and attempted to dialogue with them and show them what they're teaching is simply not biblical, and they have rejected any and all correction. And so when God is gracious enough to extend mercy to you to bring you out of darkness, and you reject that darkness, that makes me shudder and have some concerns about, are they genuine Christians or not? Secondly, why is it popular?
Yeah.
It's popular because they teach that it is the will of God for all of God's children to be healthy, walk in total divine health, to never be sick, to be financially wealthy. I don't mean to just have enough to pay your bills, but I'm talking about the lifestyles of the rich and famous. They teach that it is God's will for all of God's children to walk in supernatural, miracle-working power with all of the sign gifts, the working of miracles, the gifts of healing, of predictive prophecy. All of these things that we read in the book of Acts should be activated in the life of every child of God who has made the commitment to pay the price to learn these spiritual laws and enact them. And that's a very popular message. And there are more people that are following the Word of Faith message than probably the Lutheran and Presbyterian denominations combined worldwide. I mean, there are millions of people who are following the stuff that Todd and I are talking about tonight, and the clips we're listening to are being followed by multiplied millions of people around the world. And in fact, the very largest church in the world in Korea is a Word of Faith church led by a man named Dr. Paul Youngi Cho.
Folks, that's why we're talking about Word of Faith, because it is a popular teaching, but it is a popular teaching that is in serious error on more than one count. We're coming to you live this Sunday evening, April the 25th. We'll continue taking your phone calls in the next hour on the Word Faith Movement, 1-800-730-2727. The best callers with a question or a comment for Bob Alico on Word Faith will receive probably the best book on the Word Faith Movement. It's entitled A Different Gospel. D.R. McConnell. 1-800-730-2727, or you can post a question or a comment on the Issues Etc. forum at our website, issuesetc.org. Look under the What's New section. You can tune in live in the next hour on the Internet. Go to our website, issuesetc.org. Click on the worldwide KFUO logo. You won't be able to hear the next hour on the radio. It's only on the Internet, issuesetc.org. Again, the phone number, call during this break, 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727. If you're getting a busy signal, keep on trying. We'll free up phone lines right on the other side of this break. The danger here is that, as it is with all errors in the church, that it takes the eyes of the sinner, the one in need of God's mercy and forgiveness, off of where mercy and forgiveness is found. In God's incarnate Son, Jesus Christ, put to death in the flesh as both God and man for sinners and raised again from the dead after 3 days. It takes the sinner's eyes off of Jesus and puts the sinner's eyes on himself. Tells the sinner, you are a God. You can exercise God kind of faith and change things. You don't have to know God's will. You just speak and God must act. When your eyes are taken off of Jesus, all manner of errors multiply, and the Word Faith Movement is evidence of it. No, our eyes are fixed on Jesus. That's where God's Word, the Word that we find there in Holy Scripture, not the one that's made up or the one that we imagine, that's what God's Word points us to. Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, a faith that is total dependence in His finished work for us at the cross, sinners, and the forgiveness of our sins. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen to Pastor Todd Wilkin weekly on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is critical for Issues Etc. to continue. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Or you can donate by credit card on our resource line, 1-800-737-0172. 1-800-737-0172. Visit us this week on the World Wide Web. Our website address, issuesetc.org, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.